Support for this broadcast of Two Rivers 30 Minutes comes in part from a grant from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes.
From TubeCityOnline.com, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, a weekly series of interviews with people making news around the McKeesport area. Produced by Tube City Community Media Incorporated, a nonprofit corporation. I'm Jason Toger, the executive director. On this show, we talk one-on-one with elected officials, community leaders, and others who are trying to make a difference in the Monongahela area. And we also take your questions and comments on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.
2 weeks ago, we spoke to Keenan Michael and Keith Murphy about their efforts to reduce gun violence among youth in McKeesport and the surrounding area. Now, Mr. Murphy is founder of the Healthy Village Learning Institute. Mr. Michael is executive director of First Step Recovery Homes. They talked about some of the strategies that they've been using, including nonviolent conflict resolution and addressing the importance of education. The conversation was important, and it was so interesting that we went way over our 30-minute time, so I have decided to split this discussion into two parts. You can find part one on our podcast page, Two Rivers 30 Minutes. It's the May 17th episode. Learn more about Healthy Village Learning Institute. Go to hvliweb.org. First Step Recovery Homes is at firststeprecoveryhomes.com. And now, with part two of our discussion, here's Keith Murphy.
There are three things that I often address. What's the school climate? What's the school culture? And what's the school discipline? If you don't have a serious climate of saying, look, we want to educate you and give you the best we got. And if the culture does, so the culture has to shift with that. So if the culture is, we're just going to do what we do, get our paycheck and go home. That's not helping these kids. If you don't understand how these kids live in McKeesport, and you can't relate to them. So if you got 98% of white teachers in the school district, if there's 270 plus maybe, and there's six or seven black teachers, you don't even have a chance to put a child in front of someone that looks like them that can inspire them to be a teacher, right? Hopefully you don't want to embarrass yourself by being in a classroom with a black teacher and you can't do whatever it is that's being done. You should be able to relate to that teacher and say, listen, I'm going through this. I'm at home, something like this, and I'm taking care of my baby sister, my baby brother. So they're becoming custodial parents at the age of 10, 11, 12. And I'm saying, you got a lot of stress put on these kids. But the trauma of how you treat kids. So if the culture is, you know, I've been in schools where they use bullhorns. I've been in schools where teachers raise their voice constantly. I've been in schools where they give detention like it's a meal ticket. So if we don't change that, and then when you look at the discipline, and
I'm going to interrupt you for a second because I'm old enough to remember the movie. Was it Lean on Me or with
Lean on
they,
Me?
Yeah, with Joe. They depicted the principal Joe Clark, and that's especially for people maybe who are far removed from school or don't have kids in the school. They might think that's a successful strategy. I saw it in the movies. It worked in the movies.
So imagine this. I'm hollering at you every day, and you want to be a broadcaster, but I'm hollering at you every day. You ain't never going to be a broadcaster. You ain't going to be this. You ain't going to be that. I don't see a future for you. So if you're getting fed that climate, and that's a cultural thing, you're saying to yourself, I still want to be a journalist, but one thing I know I'm not going to do is learn from that teacher because I can't stand a teacher. So if you don't like your teacher, what are the odds that you are going to perform in the classroom for that teacher? You're going to withdraw because you already have been dehumanized to the point where you just don't give a damn about that teacher. And you're not going to do anything that teacher wants you to do. That's your rebellion. It's not effective because it doesn't work for the kid. But the teacher cares nothing about whether or not you do your work or don't do your work. It's like they pick winners and losers in classrooms. If you go to any classroom, you will see some of the kids that they favor and you will see some of them kids they ignore. And unfortunately, black students are at the top of that ring of being ignored, not being given some extra attention, extra care, extra work. It's like I told the school district, I got this place, 24,000 square foot, 14 classrooms, and I've only had one referral from the school district to come to the Healthy Village to get some additional learning through our educational enhancement program. That's crazy. So until we, so it goes back to that idea of community work, right? The school district should be connected to the community. School district should be connected to every human services process in McKeesport. School district should be with Penn State. You know, we had an agreement with Penn State 2 years ago where they were going to provide tutoring services. And I think they amassed maybe 6 or 7 kids out of that. And I'm like, that's not a good investment, you know, because you're wasting them people's times for 6 kids when you got 80%, over 80% of every black child in the school district is at basic or below basic. So if we don't address the climate, when them kids walk into school, what are they walking into? They walking into metal detectors, right? Then they might get another word, a negative word that starts their day off horribly. Hey, you need to wear some better shoes. Hey, you need to make sure you got a better shirt. Everybody ain't got that kind of money. So you got a climate already. As soon as you walk in that school, you got some negativity going on. Now the culture. In order for McKeesport to transform into a high achievement school district, they are going to have to transform every teacher into a high performance teacher. A demand for academic achievement. McKeesport believes in growth. So, you know, one of the superintendents once told me, yeah, we're experiencing growth. And I said, okay, so if a kid scores a 52 on the first test, but then on the second test, they score a 58, is that growth? And the superintendent said, yes. I said, but what is that student's grade? What is that student's grade? That's an E. They call it an E now, but it was an F in our day. So I'm like, okay, he went from 50. And they think that's, oh, he made 6% growth progress.
But
I'm like,
failing.
Really? He's failing.
He's still failing. He made exactly. 6 points.
Exactly. So we have to change the climate, culture, and discipline. So if you look at the discipline figures, look at how many black students are being suspended. Look at how many black students are being expelled. Look at how many black students are being placed on detention. Look at how many black students are even being cited for dress code. There's some irregularities and disparities in that process. And over 60, 70, and sometimes 80, and maybe sometimes 90% of everybody being disciplined is black. How do you want to go to school the next day? You don't. So it goes right into that truancy issue.
Keith Murphy is with Healthy Village Learning Institute. Keenan, Michael, we've talked, and we're coming up on an hour here, so I'm going to let you both of you gentlemen go here pretty soon. But we talked a lot about trauma. Is trauma passed down from grandparents to parents, from parents to kids? I mean, do we have generational trauma at this point? It's been 40 years since the steel mills closed. It's been 30, 40 years since the cocaine and crack epidemic, 10, 20 years since the opioid epidemic. We got generations here.
There's been a lot of scientific research to suggest that trauma can be passed down through your genes. There's been research to suggest that through a lab rats that they were able to shock a rat and let it smell a scent. Shock a rat, let it smell a scent. Take the rats out, put it into another environment, let it have children. Put the new babies who had never been into that same environment there. Let it, as soon as it smelled the scent, it ran because it was scared to get shot. That being said, there's research that suggests through post-traumatic slave disorder, similar to post-traumatic stress disorder, that those who Africans who were kidnapped from the continent were experiencing the same stress for over 400 years, right? And I can attest that I haven't been arrested, bothered by any police officers in a good amount of time. But if I'm driving and I see a police car behind me, my hands shake, and I don't know. No, I get upset with myself, like literally angry. Like, how dare I be afraid? You know, I feel like I should be brave. I should be a man, right? But I'm nervous. Oh, what's going to happen? I hope they don't bother me. I hope they're going to pull me. What's this about? And sometimes they'll swerve and go about their business and whatnot. So I say that to say that 20 years, that 40 years and whatnot, that means nothing when something's instilled inside your genes. So, yes, I do think that you can pass on this trauma, and some of these wounds are so fresh and reinforced and reinfested that we haven't had a chance to properly heal from certain things. And then we induce some of these things. We heard the cliche, hurt people hurt people. So sometimes because we have this maladaptive way of dealing with some of this trauma, we inflict it on ourselves. We inflict it on other people. We're just balls of anger and balls of hurt, that we pass it on through that. Sometimes we love each other to death. Man, you just came home from jail. Let me put you on. Let me help you out. Oh, here, I got this gun for you. Watch your back. It's dangerous out here. I'm actually giving you something to hurt yourself to protect yourself from being hurt, right? So we have these different cycles that we have to protect ourselves from. But these are the ways that we pass this trauma on, how we speak. Mr. Murphy had told me about just like even in the music that we listen to, we kind of hypnotize ourselves into certain words we have to take out of our vocabulary. We have to study the etymology of a lot of words. Sometimes we put ourselves in a negative trance by even saying the wrong words or using things in the wrong context. We say things like, I'm out here on a grind, right? And meanwhile, grind is what? Something that wears you down. Right. So we pass trauma on through words. We pass trauma on through the energy. We pass trauma on through the clothing that we wear, the things that we watch and we reinforce. So it there's subtleties in it. And then there's the science to it. And there's the biological aspect to it. There's the way the foods that we eat. So, yes, we can go on forever just dealing with the science of it. But, yes, we definitely pass it on. And the piggyback off of what you just discussed as far as the school system. Because that's some of the trauma that's being passed on and reinforced and the balls being dropped, especially here in our own district. But it seems like it's a no brainer, because I don't follow sports because I think that some of the mental slavery is being, forced on us in a lot of that areas as well. But, whenever a team doesn't perform, and the owners and a lot of stockholders and stakeholders invest so much into a team. I'll say, let's say the Lakers, right? And you have a LeBron James and whoever else is on the team over there with them, and you put so many stars over there. And they say, well, this coach didn't get them to the championship. The next season, what happens? They get rid of the coach. They say, we have the talent here. For whatever reason you didn't produce, we're getting you out of here. So we have the students here. If we're not getting this output, we got to get rid of these teachers. So we got to get rid of this administration because we already have the most valuable thing here, which are these students. You're not producing. We have to get rid of these people who are not getting the best out of them. To educate means to what? Take which is in and pull out, right? So that's to me, if you can do that with a basketball team, why can you not do that with our children?
With an academic team.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And just to tap into that. So for us, we take the kids and adults through the historical journey. We have the great opportunity of letting them hold shackles, hold all of those instruments of what I call mass destruction back in them days to say, hey, look, our people had to survive this in order for us to be here. And the fact that we survived it, how in the world did we go from surviving the most horrific crime ever committed against a people to now killing each other? That's a psychological, that is historical trauma. So 1482, first slave dungeons was built in Ghana, West Africa. And since then, it all happens, right? We go to the Caribbean, we go to Brazil, we go to every island, and we get abused. Now you look at the TV and you watch George Floyd getting killed. Everybody gets sparked. You see that man down in Florida who was the airman get shot without an opportunity to say, hey, look what's happening. We see trauma. We see Tamir Rice, a 12-year-old playing with a water gun who had 2 seconds to live. So every time we witness a death of a Black person, especially by somebody in law enforcement, we become traumatized again. We have some trauma issues that nobody's trying to heal. So we're trying to work with the mental health specialists at the University of Pittsburgh and some of the doctors that are already out there practicing to try to help us with a mental health series so we can at least give information on if you're experiencing this, if you need coping skills, if you're depressed, if you have anxiety, if you have any of those things happening, traumas, grief, We have to be able to address that, because if they're not mentally healthy, you can't make a healthy decision. And the same goes for the children. The children are my great concern.
This is Two Rivers 30 Minutes. You're listening to part two of our discussion with Keenan Michael of First Step Recovery Homes and Keith Murphy of Healthy Village Learning Institute. The topic is reducing gun violence among youth in McKeesport and vicinity. We aired part one on May 17th. You can find it on our podcast page, Two Rivers 30 Minutes. Stay tuned. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
Support for this broadcast comes from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes. Since 1866, Striffler's has provided compassionate, professional memorial services for families at White Oak, McKeesport, Dravosburg, Portview, and the surrounding areas. Striffler's offers comprehensive pre-planning services and aftercare. And through its affiliated company, Design Monuments, Striffler's also provides permanent markers and memorials crafted in stone, bronze, and other high-quality materials. Learn more at Strifflers.com or call 412-678-6191.
Support for this broadcast comes from the City of McKeesport Fair Housing Office. Fair housing is your right, and the Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in housing because of race, color, national origin, religion, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, family status, or disability. That includes renting or buying a home, getting a mortgage, seeking housing assistance, or engaging in other housing-related activities. For more information about Fair Housing Act protections in the City of McKeesport, call 412-675-5020, extension 635.
What can people do to help? We'll start with you, Keenan, on your journey, going door-to-door, knocking on doors, talking to people. How can they get involved? Right now, you said you are a one-person operation at Building Block. But how could people, if they hear this and they say, yeah, I want to step up, how can I help you?
Join. All you have to do is join. One person knocking on the door can become two. And then the Healthy Village is open. So whenever I come, I reconvene. So I come back to the village. So we knock on the door, and then once a week, once a month, depending on how we can do it, what's more convenient for everybody who wants to help, come up and we meet and just whatever information you gather, whatever your issues are. We don't have to just go to city council meetings. We go there so they can create policy that can wrap around our issues. We come together as a community so we can solve our own issues. So when we go to door to door and you have an issue, let's come bring it to the village. And some of the things we can solve on our own. I think my thought process is if we start to solve the majority of our own problems, the powers that be will come and bring their resources to help support us. But if we come with a list of issues, they'll pick and choose which ones that they'll be willing to work with. So let's if you want to help, it's sometimes I mean all things that can be helped financially. I don't turn away money, who does? But we need support. Get engaged. It doesn't have to be through Building Block. It doesn't have to be through First Step. It doesn't have to be through the Healthy Village. It can be through anything that you see is doing the work. Not that sounds good, not that it has a nice mission statement, but anything that any group that is out there doing the work consistently. But one thing I can attest to is that we are out there doing the work. So come up there. You can meet us any day of the, any week, any given weekend. Come knock on the door, just come over. We'll have a conversation. Mr. Murphy puts out flyers where we have our town halls, and we'll discuss specific issues or if you have concerns. If you have any person or a person of concern that you says, I think he has a gun or he has mental health issues or he has some things that needs to be addressed, make that referral. If I'm not able to address it, and I do, and I am a social worker. I did go through all of what I needed to go through. I do know people who, when I can't get to it, Mr. Murphy knows contacts when he can't get through it. We'll get somebody to assist in those different areas. But let's start using word of mouth. That was there before the internet. Let's get back to the things that keep it simple. Let's get back to the things that were there before it became so complex, back when we were able to speak to each other. That's how we can do it. It doesn't have to be so complicated. If you want to help, send the emails, make the phone calls, but just talk. Let's get engaged. If you don't want to be seen, if you say, listen, I want to help, but I don't want to make enemies, I don't want to make waves, that's understood too. I understand people are private sometimes. And we can do that as well. Just send the message. But we're doing it. That's why I did it building block. We're trying to heal block by block, block by block. And I think that if we can do it if we do it in that fashion, eventually we'll have a section of the community, and then we'll have eventually we'll have the entire community, and it will spread outwards.
Keith Murphy, how do they get in touch with you?
They can call me at 412-889-9329. And of course they can hit me on the website and send me an email. But I think that our greatest strength has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with our human capital. We all have skills and talents, and I'm not saying everybody's built to be door knocking. Everybody's built to talk to folks that are at the highest risk levels. But being engaged with whatever your skill sets are, and we invite children in, say you're an electrician. We want the electrician to walk in this door, tell the kids, listen, if you're interested in being an electrician, this is what it's going to take. Let me show you some of the simple things that we do. So having examples in the community of all the professionals that we have, the bankers, the insurance folk, who, whatever it is, the drywall people, we need to make sure that we connect folks with whatever it is that their passion is. Even if they want to pick up garbage, how do you become a garbage man? They just ain't gonna give you that job. You know how to fill out that application? Let me introduce you on how to do that. So Our human capital in this community is, for me, the most valuable. So if we can find a way to get that hooked up where people say, hey, look, I want to volunteer. Like, we have a group of United Methodists here in McKeesport that offers a toddler and infant clothing thing in the parking lot every year. We also do some other things with the United Methodists in dealing with older folks and clothing and book bags and all that. That is part of that community engagement that we need from everybody. So I'm looking for people who want to partner, collaborate, and become, you know, a unit that makes this whole community feel like it doesn't matter what corner we go to, what area we go to. We know there's a resource of people that are available to help us out. We got to be the eyes and ears too. So, you know, helping them understand how we get rid of some of this violence. Trust me, it's a matter of somebody calling and saying, look, there's a group of young men, da 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 da, and they're right here. And we go there. So we have a great partnership with the mayor. We have a great partnership with the police chief. So we have great assets, community assets, that are willing to help us however we can. But we're also willing to help them however we can. So, you know, this is a group thing. So we want to make sure everybody knows, come on out, get involved if you want to. But you should want to. This is our community.
Absolutely.
We got to be, you know, comprehensive in that design.
Keith Murphy is the founder of Healthy Village Learning Institute, 412-889-9329, hvliweb.org. Keenan Michael, Executive Director of First Step Recovery Homes. How do they get in touch with you?
Oh, yeah. You can call me, 412-465-2440. You can email me, keemike01@gmail.com. My website will be up pretty soon. buildnblock.net. And if you need to get in touch to help anyone who suffers from the disease of substance abuse, you can call 412-673-2113. That is First Step Recovery Homes. And that is at 336 Penny Street. We also are opening up our larger location, a 40-bed at 416 Olive Street. That'll be open on July 1st. So yeah, we were expanding, fortunately and unfortunately. Fortunately, because we can serve more people. Unfortunately, because we were going to need to serve more people. But that's right here in McKeesport as well, at 416 Olive Street, the old Wells Sales, if you've been here long enough.
My old elementary school, actually, is how I think. Right. It's our elementary school.
Right. So, yeah, definitely. And that goes back to, yeah, still kind of utilizing some of these old structures that we had. We don't want to keep knocking buildings down. We want to utilize what we can still utilize, refurbish what we can refurbish, and make the most of them. But, yeah, you can contact us, and we'll be there as well. So, Yeah, anyway, or you can just see me out because I'm in the community. You'll see me. You might see me at a Healthy Village sitting on a stoop with my dog Callie. So you'll see me out. So before we do go, I did want to just speak on the one thing you had mentioned earlier about identity.
Yes.
And I do think that all youth, it is very important for us to gain and maintain our identity. I think that sometimes we lose ourselves and we get caught up in not only the use of drugs and other dangerous substances and get caught up in violence because we're attempting to find and claim an identity that we later find out was never ours. We become adults later in life, sometimes still searching for that identity. There are programs, there's rites of passages, there's different paths in life that allow you to find out who your true self is. And your true self can be a spiritual journey sometimes. It can be often, that's what it comes down to, is the essence of it, is your true self is a spiritual journey. And when you find out who you find your true identity, it doesn't necessarily have to be a nomenclature, a name, but when you find out who your true identity is, it alleviates attempting to act out. It alleviates attempting to behave other than in a manner that would embarrass yourself or embarrass your family members or embarrass your, anybody, and allows you to walk on a straight path. So my message would be to focus on finding out who you are. Don't let other people program and dictate and pour into you and tell you who you are. Start early and focus on who you are. If you have to rebrand yourself, if you have to rename yourself, if you have to be, as the Christians would say, born again, start from that step. And that would allow you to not have to go through the path of the violence, the path of trying to prove yourself to anyone, the path of going through the rehabs, the path of ego being based, everything being based off of your ego. The more I started learning who I was, the more embracing who I was, the more free I became.
Keenan, do you mind sharing the name that you are going to be adopting?
Now Build Oriyami Adewole.
Students who come up to see you, Keith, they don't call you Keith or Mr. Murphy. What do they call you?
The full name is Tugby Denuno Akbali I. It means protector of the village. But identity, for us, we talk about land, history, and culture. So connecting those dots, we ask folks what they are. I said, we are the only people in 60 years we've been given 5 different names. We've been colored, Negro, Black, Afro, named after hairstyle, Afro-American, and African-American. African-American came in 1987. So I say, look, I can't be an African-American because that happened after I was born. So I say, your identity is the foundation. So if you can't own up to being an African, you will never have an established identity. We have got to help our kids accept our land, history, and culture because it's deep and it's rich.
Keenan Michael is Executive Director of First Step Recovery Homes. Keith Murphy is with Healthy Village Learning Institute. Thank you for a very interesting discussion. Went way over what I expected it to, but did not want to end the conversation. So thank you both for taking some time to talk with us this morning.
Appreciate it.
Definitely. Greatly appreciated as well.
You can find part one on our podcast page, Two Rivers 30 Minutes. It's the May 17th episode. Learn more about Healthy Village Learning Institute at hvliweb.org. You can find First Step Recovery Homes at firststeprecoveryhomes.com. Thanks so much for listening this week. So long for now.
You've been listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, copyright Tube City Community Media, Incorporated. Opinions expressed on this program are not those of Tube City Community Media, Incorporated. Listener support makes this program possible. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, please visit our website at tubecityonline.com and click on the donate link. You can also get a free subscription to this program and other podcasts at our website using Apple's iTunes or Stitcher.com. If you've got a question or comment, we hope you'll write to us. Our address is Tube City Community Media Incorporated, P.O. Box 94, McKeesport, PA, 15134. You can email us at tubecitytiger@gmail.com or call us at area code 412-614-9659. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.